Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, did the Cowboys make a mistake giving up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper? Plus, James Harrison weighs in on John Gruden shaking things up with the Raiders. And after another loss for the winless Lakers, should LeBron be worried? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. And back to the Cowboys. They made a huge trade yesterday, acquiring Amari Cooper from the Raiders for a first-round pick. Right now, the Dallas offense is 26th in scoring, 29th in passing. Cooper is a two-time Pro Bowler, but he only has 22 catches, one touchdown this season. We are joined by Super Bowl champ James Harrison. Thanks for joining us again today. All right, big news for Skip, but I want your take. How much better are the Cowboys with Cooper?
I think they're far better with him than without him. I think it brings back the dynamic that they had when Dez was there, you know, the previous couple years. It gives them a deep threat, somebody that can open the field. But not only that, you get those stacked boxes away from, you know, Ezekiel.
Yep.
It gives them an opportunity to be able to run the ball more efficient. And when they do stack the box, it gives you a chance to go over the top. So I believe it makes them a lot better with him.
Hmm. I agree. He's the only guy that they have, Skip. We've seen him before take over game for the Raiders. Now, the problem that you, the reason why the Raiders are moving on is that the consistency issue. Mm-hmm. Maybe a change of scenery, change of venue, maybe that's going to do everybody some good. The Raiders seem to be happy with getting a first-round pick. I believe the Cowboys are going to be happy to get what they believe is a number one receiver. And as James was saying, is that what he allows you to do is that you have to pay extra attention to him. He's a guy, he commands respect. Yeah, he's inconsistent, but he's still with the fourth pick in the draft. He's still a two-time Pro Bowl player. So that's still on his resume, and he's still 24 years of age.
Yep.
And he's substantially better than any other receiver you got. No other receiver will come or command the respect that he does.
Yep.
So now, all of a sudden, you want to play, you know, eight guys in the box and try to shut down Zeke? You want your corner to go one-on-one? Because, Skip, it doesn't matter. We could play one-on-one across the board with these guys. The only guy I feared that was going to beat me, especially with something quick, would be Cole Beasley. The other guys don't put fear. You got to have, at some point in time, offense, and the guys outside must put fear in the defense's heart. Mm. And I'm afraid right now there's one guy that really puts fear in their heart, and that's Zeke. Well, you can't throw the ball to Zeke every play, and you can't run him every play. You have to be able to throw to your tight end and your wide receivers outside. This guy will command respect. Mm. He'll be respected. And I think he makes them a better football team. Now, your guy that you, every time we come out here, we do a story, you give him an A or you give him a B, no matter what. He flunked all the tests.
As opposed to giving him an F for a D.
I gave him a D.
D?
Yeah.
You gave him an F for last year.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the fourth best QBR and went 9-7. You gave him an F?
And he also lost four more games than he did the year before.
Oh.
With nine more interceptions. I don't really know what you want me to do.
Huh.
I don't grade on the curve. I give you what you get.
Yeah.
You
give me hate.
No,
hate.
What you do is this guy makes a 20, you give him a 75.
Oh, okay.
Good teacher.
So, how much better does Amari Cooper? That's Amari. How much better does he make my Dallas Cowboys? He makes them good enough to win the NFC East, which isn't very good this year, but they're going to go win it with Amari Cooper. Do I love him in a vacuum in and of himself? I do not love him. Does he have this flaw and that flaw and this negative and that? Yes, he does. In his time in the league, is he tied for the most drops in pro football? Yes, he is. And we were seeing the video of him dropping balls just as Jenny was reading the lead to this story. Is he 210th over his time in the league in targets not caught, percentage of targets not caught? He is. So his productivity has fallen dramatically and dangerously over the last 2 years after he made two Pro Bowls. But is he way better than anything I have? Yes. Mm-hmm. Like way better than anything. They tried to do it by committee, and I thought maybe they could just dink and dack and mix it up. Nope. Alan Hearns, see you later. I don't want to. But he's just a guy. I'm not saying
he's done with Hearns already.
You realize they dumped my guy Bryce Butler. He got dumped so they could open up the spot for Amari Cooper.
Man.
So they threw him one ball in the first
series. You get to put Beasley in the slot now.
What's that?
You get to put Beasley in the slot.
Guess what, though? Guess where Amari's had his most success?
In the
slot. He's a slot guy. So I don't know. Can you have two slot receivers? Some formations you could, maybe. I don't know. They might be bumping
the
slot.
Well, a lot of times they put Beasley in the slot on one side and Tavon on the other.
You can. But the point is, the thing about Amari is, and I I was around him just for a few minutes one day, and he's a good kid. You'd like him. He's got a good heart. But he is the flip side, the complete opposite of those Cowboy great receivers, starting with Michael Irvin or Terrell Owens or Dez Bryant, because he is no diva. He's not an alpha. He's not the guy who's going to demand the football or be the life of the locker room or the heartbeat of the football team. He's just not that guy. And that's why John Gruden didn't like him, because you don't feel intensity from him every play, every game. Like Terrell Owens, what I always loved about him, he just played with rage. You know how he was. Now, again, yeah. I thought he was raging for his own stats more than winning football games, but he played on the edge the whole game. So did Dez Bryant before he got beat up and knocked out of the league.
You know, like a receiver that just go in there and work and get his job done?
Okay, but he's quiet to a fault. Like he's a – I'm not saying he's soft. He's just –
You just want a guy that's vocal, go anything and
it's got some personality. He doesn't have a big personality now. He's not going to try to take over.
You need to go out there and work.
Yeah.
Get the job done.
I mean, have you ever seen a great, like Jerry Rice still had a big personality to me. He would throw tantrums on the sideline.
Still would and cry when he didn't get the ball, but that's neither here nor there.
But here's
the
thing. You want him to throw tantrums on the sideline and cry and stuff don't go his way.
It's just
that. Didn't you say you didn't like that about him?
I do, but when you're that guy, you have a big personality because it goes with the territory, right? It just goes. Well, it just does.
How Keyshawn said he wanted his money back. Oh. So John Gruden suspended him. He had personality. He was fiery, and John Gruden told him to go sit down.
Yeah.
You remember that, Skip?
I do. But Amari, to your point, he is gifted now. He runs sweet routes. They're like, he's a glider. He ran 4.4 at the combine. It's effortless. He's got that sort of effortless deep speed where you
don't realize he's up on you.
You just went right by him. Woo. Yeah. So I love all that. And I do love the point when somebody gets dumped by head coach that he doesn't really care for, then he goes to the next stop. You know how it feels.
Exactly.
And you say, okay, watch this.
Watch.
But you know what's good? Going to Alabama, there's pressure. Being the fourth pick in the draft, it's pressure. Right. But here's the thing. Let me tell you what adds more pressure than both of them. Going to the Cowboys in the middle of the season and you're thought of as being the savior.
You will be.
So now there's a whole different ball game, Skip. Yep. They're bringing you in. They said, you're the guy that can get us over the hump to win the NFC East. Mm-hmm. Skip Baylor says, Amari Cooper will deliver the Cowboys the NFC East title.
He just said that.
No, you said that.
I just said that. I'm saying
he. Yeah, you did.
I'm going second person.
Okay. Okay.
I am.
Okay.
It's been noted.
That's a lot of pressure on Amari for a guy that doesn't say a whole lot and bottle things in that you don't, you know. Is he going to embrace that? Is he going to embrace what you're asking him to be? Or is he going to embrace what you're asking him to do?
If he's got a little mad on for John Gruden, maybe so. My quarterback is going to be on the hot seat now because you're going to be saying every Monday.
I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't got nothing to say.
He got the weapons now.
He's got a one. Now, he's only got, well, he's got a running back and he's got a number one.
How much you want him to have?
I need him to have a tight end.
So, in other words, you want him to have Travis Kelce, A.B., Julio, and Ezekiel.
I need Zach Ertz, just Zach Ertz.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
All
well,
I care.
Oh, you just want Zach Ertz.
That'd be good.
Anyone would.
Can you name one of my tight ends?
You said you liked him.
Can you? I said I liked him.
You said you like Orico.
Oh, they won't give him a chance. He's a basketball player.
So what you expect?
Yeah, he's a red zone target. I don't know.
Antonio Gase was a basketball player. I know.
Gonzo was a basketball player.
I know he was.
But
Jeff Swain, really? Blake Jarwin? What? That's all I got.
Well, I mean, they were kind of handcuffed because Jason Witten kind of left them a little late in the ball game. But they had a chance to get Goddard. Maybe they was hoping he'd fall
into
the lap.
Guess who snaked him for that?
Skip.
Howie Roseman. He went up and got him.
It's like you're an outfielder.
Dallas Goddard.
You're waiting to catch the ball, and then somebody jumps up and catches it.
I know. How would you like to have had Dallas in Dallas? Would that not have worked? Dallas Goddard, he's going to be a star for them.
I mean, we don't know if he'd have the same kind of rapport like Walker to him, because Walker to him is really accurate.
Mm.
Really accurate.
Except in the fourth quarter of games against Carolina at home when he was not accurate.
What about your guy?
What about him?
Ofer.
Warrior.
Ofer
Weir.
Ofer.
On the road.
On the road. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was 12-4 his first 2 years on the road.
Why do you keep going back?
Well, it's not that far back.
Yes, it is.
It's not now.
How is that relevant?
You're only as good as your last game in this.
In his first 2 years, he was second only to Tom Brady on the road.
I don't care about the first 2 years.
Okay, who is he second to now?
I don't know.
Oh, he right there, right? He's last.
Titled for last with somebody.
Yeah, exactly. He right there with Josh Rosen, Nathan Peterman.
You know who might get unleashed by this move? Is that running back. he might finally see some creases.
Oh, now you're going to see some creases. But you tell your offensive line is underperformed. You was out on Zeke because he only had 30 yards on
34?
Sunday. And now you back with Zeke.
How do you have a game where you go 15 carries for 34 yards when you're the best back in football?
Who said that? Who said he was the best?
You got to give him more carries. Give him a chance.
Todd Gurley said, you see these numbers?
25 times a game.
He's putting up numbers. He didn't put them up until that coach took over, did he?
I told you, Jeff Fisher was holding him back. Had people thinking Jerry Goff was a bust. Mm-hmm. How would you take Jerry Goff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, Sean McVay said, I can work miracle with that guy.
Yeah. So, Shannon Sharp, how nervous are you now that Amari is a Cowboy?
I'm worried because in the next week or so, old Howie T going to pull off old Pat Peterson deal, and I'll be sleeping good again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would nullify this move. I'd be the first
old
to
Pat
say.
Old Pat P got something for y'all.
Yeah.
But he's going to only get better now. My guy's coming off a major surgery, ACL and LCL. Mm-hmm. He's only going to get better. He was 30 or 37 on Sunday. He's only going to get better over the next month.
Huh. He was terrible in the fourth quarter because he threw an interception that should have been
It was not a pick.
Reed, and then sack fumble.
He made a bad read. He predetermined where he was going with the football on third down. Huh. He should have just taken the back in the flat for the first. Yep. He had a timeout with a minute left. Okay, he made a mistake, Skip. Young guys, he's still only a third-year quarterback. Mm. Guys do that. He predetermined where he was going with the football, and you shouldn't do that.
Mm.
But it happened.
Mm. He's got Alshon. He's got...
You're making it seem like Alshon, Julio, or A.B.
He's got Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is a very good tight end.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. He's a very good tight end, Skip.
Wow. He's got weapons. Now I got one.
Oh,
one weapon.
One?
But smiling all
But you
all
got
day.
The ultimate weapon. Mm-hmm. Dak! Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
That's all I need.
Okay.
They're
second
going to win.
To, who was it? Tom Brady and somebody else? Or something?
No, just second to Brady.
Brady? Okay.
In road record.
Right.
But Skip, that was 2016 and 2017. What did that do with it in 2018?
Well, we'll see. Maybe he'll just turn it right around right
Oh, you
now.
Think so?
This could be right. it.
Oh, you're going to make this ain't no U-turn.
And if so, we were all here to say
Betting something on that.
Oh, they on a bye week, so they can't lose this road game.
You don't want to bet me on this?
No mercy. The Raiders are a disappointing 1-5 this season, but John Gruden is still optimistic. Gruden approved yesterday's huge deal that sent Amari Cooper to the Cowboys for a first-round pick. The Raiders have now stockpiled draft picks after the Cooper trade and the Khalil Mack trade earlier this season. And Gruden told ESPN, quote, "We're going to try to build this thing the right way. We now have 5 number one picks in the next 2 years, so I'm excited about that." James Harrison is back with us. But first, Shannon, I'm going to go to you. Interesting strategy here from Gruden. Mm. Do you like it?
No, because he's tanking. In other words, he's saying Reggie McKenzie didn't build this team the right way. He built this team the right way. Good young talent, young guys that were playing very well. Amari Cooper might have been inconsistent. Derek Carr got hurt a bunch. But he was playing at an MVP season. Now all these guys look terrible. They don't look the same playing for John Gruden as they did in years past. Mm-hmm. Skip, but if I'm a veteran player, I didn't sign up for no rebuild. Mm-hmm. And normally ownership, they don't pay $10 million per year for a coach to do rebuilds. If you remember, let's take it to basketball. When they started getting rid of Paul Pierce and Garnett and Ray Allen and Rondo, Doc didn't stay on for that. They brought Brad Stevens in to do a rebuild. Mm-hmm. Normally when you do a rebuild, you get a coach 4 years, 5 years, $2 million, $2.5 million. You don't give a guy 10 years, $100 million to do a rebuild. Mm-hmm. Is that what he told him? Oh, Mark, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear this thing down. I'm going to build this thing the right way. No, he told him, hear him talk. Ooh, the Raiders, they got some great young pieces. I tell you, they got you. No, Derek Carr, he'll gut you. No, you'll gut the team. That's the only thing that's getting gutted is the Raiders team. And if I'm a veteran player, Skip, I don't do the rebuild. Because guess what? By the time they get good, I'm not going to be there. Mm. And guess what, John Gruden's going to be there because he got $10 million per year for the next 9 years after this game. This is unacceptable what he's doing. He's trying to sell a bill of goods now after he done wrecked this team. He's wrecked it. I told you. I tried to tell you. I said 10 years is a long time, Skip Bayless, for you to talk about you can just jump back into something. No doctor, no lawyer goes 10 years without doing their craft, jumps right back in and expect to pick up where they left off. What surgeon does that?
Well, if they're interviewing surgeons every week and actually watching over, like, doing play-by-play of surgery every week, maybe that would help keep them in touch.
No, they the same thing. Mm-hmm. Being in touch and actually, dude, you got to get your hands dirty, Skip. Mm. You got to break that thing down. Mm. You know what I'm saying, Skip Bayless? You want to start? Let me ask you a question. you're going to have a major surgery performed. Yeah. You want a guy that ain't done that surgery in 10 years, or you want somebody that's been doing that?
I don't know. How good was the guy?
He was really good, but he ain't done one in 10 years. Mm. I know, knowing the Skip Bayless like I know him, Jenny Taft, oh, he ain't letting no guy that ain't done nothing in
10 years. 10 years too long.
Yeah.
I know him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. It's a bad analogy, but
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Santa, I would agree with you on what you were saying. Yeah. But then I had to sit back and actually look at it. I said he done got rid of Mac. I'm like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
He done lost his mind. Then he got rid of Amari. I'm like, what's going on? So I sat back. I said, you know what? Maybe he got a plan. And I looked at his contract. Like you said, it's 10 years.
Yeah.
He didn't sign up. He said what he had to say to get there.
Yeah.
But I believe his ultimate goal was, if the team worked out that I have, it's great. But if it doesn't, I can switch this around. I got 10 years. I can build it how I want to.
Right.
So I like what he's doing right now. If he can go and do it exactly how he did it 10 years ago, and he has 7 years to get to where he needs to be, and that's with a Super Bowl.
Hmm.
So right now, sitting back, looking at it, I think he's doing the right thing.
You a veteran player? You liking that on his team?
I'm not liking it as a veteran player, but for him, it's a great move. He has to build a team that is going to win a championship.
He just got 2 first-rounders for Khalil Mack and another first, which is outrageously overpaying for Amari Cooper.
Right.
So that's 5 firsts the
3 next
year,
2019, and 2 in 2020. Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to use them wisely.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? So, you know what this reminds me of? I was covering the Dallas Cowboys back in 1988-89, and here came this upstart from the University of Miami named Jimmy Johnson. He'd never coached a lick of pro football, even as assistant. He walked in the door, and he said, I don't like any of this junk. So he pulled me aside one day early in the season, like week 2. And he said, what would you say if I told you I was going to trade Herschel Walker? And I was like, what? You trade Herschel. He was godlike in Dallas because he was really all they had in marquee value at that point. I wasn't a big Herschel fan because I think there was some smoke and mirrors going on there. But he said, I'm going to do it. He said, how do you think it'll go over? I said, people will riot. That's what will happen. And they rioted. And you know, and I know, that was the beginning of the building of a dynasty.
Yes.
Because he got back the sun and the moon and Mars and Jupiter and Venus from Minnesota.
Right.
And I don't know what Minnesota was doing. I don't know. It's way before your time, I think, right?
I don't know what they were doing.
I don't know.
Can't speak to that.
I thought they were a piece away because they had an outstanding defense.
They did. They did. But the point was, it reminds me a little bit of this situation where you had a new coach who was friends with the owner, just as the way John Gruden is friends with Mark Davis.
Right.
And Jimmy thought he had enough security just to nuke it and start over. Right. And he's running off Everson Walls, who was a perennial Pro Bowler. And
Too tall.
Yeah, too tall. And Danny Noonan was a first-round pick. He didn't like any of them. He just said, you guys are all gone. You're out. I'm starting completely over. And that first year, they were horrendously bad. 1-15 with Steve Walsh starting a bunch of games and Troy starting the other games. And the rest is history because a dynasty erupted from all that, all those draft picks. So, again, I can tell you that John Gruden didn't love Khalil Mack's every down intensity, and that's not his kind of guy. Is he a gifted player? There's no doubt. You know, is he James Harrison? Probably not. He's not James Harrison. But, but the point is, Amari wasn't his cup of tea either, because Amari doesn't he doesn't have that game face mentality. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that, you know, I'm going to rip your throat out kind of mentality. So John said, okay, if I can get a lot for both of them. And the Athletic just reports that they say Derek Carr might be next, and I wouldn't be surprised that at all.
Yeah.
And this report says that he's losing the locker room now, so is Derek Carr on the way out? Sure.
Skip, you heard that a couple of weeks ago. Because normally when you hear people just don't be, oh, y'all, media. Media just don't make these things up. People credentials are on the line here. When you start hearing this rumblings about this guy could potentially move, you hear this about Derek, Demaryius Thomas in Denver. Right. You start hearing, oh, there's some truth to that.
That's true.
My grandma used to say, boy, there's a little truth even in a lie.
Yes.
When you start hearing rumblings like this, but let me just take it from this.
By the way, has John Gruden told some little lies here and there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But here, let me look at it from this point. Uh-huh. James, you and I were looking at a veteran player. If I'm an Oakland fan, I'm paying $300-$400 for a ticket for a rebuild? Oh, you trying to get good for Vegas? Well, you right here in Oakland right now. What am I supposed to do?
Okay, if you hit on those five first-round picks.
But by the time they get good, they're going to be in Vegas. I'm talking about right now. I ain't going to be traveling to Vegas every day to watch
Vegas
you play.
Next year, right?
No, they got like 3 years. Two, three years. Like 2021 or something. They'll wait.
They got a little time.
They got, yeah. Okay. But in the meantime, what I'm supposed to do? So you want me to pay my money, get me a suite, come tailgate, buy all this memorabilia, and what? I mean, paraphernalia, then what? Mm. For 4-12?
Yep.
3-13? That's what I'm... So let me get this right. Everybody else is underperforming at the level of their getting paid, but John Gruden is overperforming at $10
million? Oh, I'm not saying he's overperforming. I'm saying
that's what I got, Skip. I got one win. I got one win. That's all I got.
Okay, but they know what he wrought the first time around, and it was really good.
No, we update resumes here.
Okay, well, again.
See, what he did, see, that's way down. Now, see, Skip, that's what happens. When you have to update your resume, like you start up here. Like, the first thing you put up there is what? The last thing you done. You don't start, I went to Harvard. What's the last occupation you had? I worked at Goldman Sachs. You work your way back, and then I got a BA. Or then I got an MB from Harvard or Yale or wherever.
Okay, what if you took over a football team and after a month or two, you decided, I can only be mediocre with what I have in this locker room. I'm going to tear it down.
And what about those 53 players say, you know what, we can only be mediocre with the coach.
Okay. Well, then a bunch of them are going to be
out. Hey, you just looking at it from one
when
point
you
of
get a coach $100 million now, yeah. he's going to do whatever he has to do to make sure he secures exactly what, you know, they paid him to do, and that's to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And I feel like right now that's what he's trying to do.
He told me, when he did that press conference, he said the Raiders are back. He didn't say in 2 years. He didn't say in 3 years. He said the Raiders are back, baby. He put that hat on. Yeah. He got that old haircut. Hey. Him and Mark Davis got haircut
sometimes
together.
Sometimes you do what you got to do to get what you want.
So in other words, he lied.
He might have.
Okay.
Is it on us for falling for it, though?
No, I didn't fall for it.
I fell for it a bit.
Oh, no.
No, you didn't fall for it?
No.
I fell for it. I'm the only one, I guess.
Skip kind of bought in a little bit, too.
I bought into it because I believe in Coach Gruden. I just do. And I think he will turn it around really quickly.
It's amazing what he did with Tony Dungy's players. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see what he do.
Well,
because them were Tony's. All them Hall of Famers, them belong to Tony.
Okay, maybe they needed a completely different personality. They needed Chucky Gruden to come in and shake things up.
Well, Reggie might as well go ahead and hit him with them deuces.
Yeah.
Because he said he don't like the way he wanted to trade the number one pick they got a couple of years ago, the safety. Mm-hmm. So basically, he said, Reggie, you've done a horrible job here. Okay. And he was in the playoff a couple of years ago.
So Reggie McKenzie has picked 50 football players for the Oakland Raiders, and now 8 of them are left on the roster. What does that say?
Skip, you make it seem like he the only one that miss on players.
Hmm. I think.
How many John Gruden got rid of since he's been there?
I think Reggie McKenzie's on the hot seat. He's going to be the next one out. He and Derek Carr may be able to leave together.
That's all right, Reggie. You did a good job, Reggie. I mean, everybody wants to make it seem like they're going to be Ozzie Newsome. The likelihood of you picking 4 or 5 Hall of Famers, Skip, is not very good. You know that.
It's not very good. Nope.
You get, I mean, sometimes things fall for you and you get it right. Yeah. You get a Jonathan Ogden and a Ray Lewis and a Suggs and an Ed Reed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's few and far between.
Sometimes you hit on a Shannon Sharp in round 7.
You do.
Yeah.
It happens.
Or a Tom Brady.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, Shane, I'm just waiting. Diamond is just waiting somebody to polish me on up.
Yeah.
Everybody, that old big old clunk of rock,
you're
he
just
ain't
waiting.
Nothing. People had him on the thing, they looking at me, I ain't nothing but old paperweight.
Yeah.
Dan Reese, let me get that. Little shot.
Cowboys went to Savannah State, timed him. He ran 4.8. They said, we're out.
4.8?
Yep, 4.8. Out.
How many times I've been caught from behind?
Out.
Who has the longest touchdown from scrimmage in NFL history in playoffs?
And where was that? Where did that happen?
Against that guy right there.
That is correct.
Yeah, like against that guy right there.
And it was the one play that your team needed to win that game at Oakland.
Yeah.
That was one step.
Hell no.
That guy was one step from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, he's still one step. Well, he's like 32 steps now.
He back now.
No, well, Arizona worse than that team. But they're getting there, Skip.
Mm.
You know that.
Are they still interesting to follow? Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
You don't watch the Raiders when they play. No, they don't. Skip, don't do that.
They're going to get a bunch of first-round picks.
Okay, what are you going to do with those? Now, guess who I know? The last team I know had a bunch of first-round picks. How'd that work out for them? Cleveland.
How'd that work? Cleveland picked terrible. They reached all up out of their
body.
You
see all the picks? You see all?
Yeah, that wasn't good. They need to do something with their GM.
Yeah. Well, they did.
They got a new one. They got John Dorsey now.
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Mm.
He signed Gruden. They got Tyreek Hill.
Slow build.
Yeah.
slow build, kind of.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though. What happened with Derek Carr, I think that is the next chapter to this story. Raiders. Let's see.
No mercy.
The Giants and Falcons were both desperate for a win last night and came down to some crucial coaching decisions. The Giants scored a touchdown with under 5 minutes left in the fourth to cut the lead to 8. Pat Shurmur then decided to go for 2 instead of kicking the extra point, but Odell dropped the ball in the end zone. The Giants were still down by 8. They would score another touchdown in the closing seconds, but lost 23-20, and they're now 1-6. Here's Shurmur on why he chose to go for 2.
I'm sure you'll have some questions about the 2-point play. I just felt like, and you know, we've discussed, you know, internally the math on that. I felt like we had a good play. And I liked our 2-point play selections, and we just didn't quite get it done. But at the end there, you saw, had they not kicked the field goal, I felt good about our second 2-point play, which we scored on at the end. So, you know, I felt like I wanted to be aggressive for our guys. You increase your chances by 50% if you go for it and make it there. So that's what you do. Because then if we score a touchdown, we just kick the extra point and win.
All right, Shannon, do you agree with the decision to go for 2? I was curious.
That's awful presumptuous of him. Skip, I didn't like the call, but I understand his reasonings. But if you look at it, you're under the impression that your offense is going to get the ball into the end zone in 2-point play. Have you watched your offense this year, Pitcher? Maybe you see something different. Maybe you, because you're closer to it, mm-hmm. you see something different than what I watch on television.
Yeah.
Because when I watch it now, if that's Kansas City, if that's the Saints, that's the Rams, the Minnesota. Yeah. Oh, Skip, I got no problem with that.
True.
Maybe the second 2-point play should have been your first 2-point play. Mm-hmm. So you got a 235-pound back with great acceleration. Mm-hmm. You don't give him the ball. You put it in Eli. And Pat, let me make a recommendation. When Eli has the ball in his hand, you cover your mouth. Because you say it, throw it, throw it, throw it, and you wear your motion on your sleeves, and people see that.
We all saw that.
So you need to, Eli, throw the every ball!
Yep.
That's what he needs to do, Skip.
That was being replayed.
Skip, okay, what about the 4th and goal from the 1 that you didn't get? What if you kicked the field goal there? So what's the mathematics? What you're using, what percentage, if you kicked the field goal there, mm-hmm. what was your percentage of winning the game then? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at him like, dude, I watch it, okay, on 3rd and 2. They don't hand the ball to Saquon coming down the hill,
yep.
granted. They swing it to him 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. 4 guys are out there. Yep. Like, they heard Pat Shurmur call from the sideline. They're about to run a swing to Saquon.
Yep.
Let's be over there. Skip, this is ridiculous. I'm looking at some of the play calls. I'm like, I get why he did it, Skip, but under that scenario, you might as well just go for it yep. on 4th down. Anything that's 4th and 2 or less, you might as well go for it because your offense, you're so inconsistent.
Yeah.
See, he's basing it on, well, if we do this and this goes well. But if you look at the consistency of your offense, I don't know why you have confidence that you're going to be able to get in that situation when you have so much struggles moving the ball during the course of the game in all areas of the field.
Mm.
And then Eli, Skip, he got to make that throw to Odell.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the safety. The safety is not.
Oh, not the 2-point throw.
No, not the 2-point. Yeah, yeah, but he had a 4 touchdown.
No, he did.
You got to make
just,
that throw.
He just missed him.
You got to make that, Skip.
It's just like a standard football throw.
Yes,
it's just like you got to make that.
It's a cover 2 throw. The safety doesn't want to get beat inside, so he's going to stay tight inside. Hey, Odell gave him a nice little shake, and so Eli just put it on him.
That's a big play in the game. That could change the momentum. Because the shock of the whole night to me was. The score of this game was 10-6 after 3 quarters. And I couldn't believe that Atlanta only had 10. And I couldn't believe that Eli and company only had 6 against the second-to-worst defense in pro football.
Well, you look at the stats at the end of the night, you see why both teams are where they are.
Okay.
Eli had almost 400.
So maybe I'm going to give Pat Shurmur a little break here because his son is my quarterback at Vanderbilt University. But other than that... Like everyone else, when he went for 2 at 20-12, I'm just like, what? What are you doing?
Yes.
It makes no sense. Just kick the point and make it 20-13. Play the odds. Just, okay, now it's a 1-score game where you kick the next point and you tie the game. You know, you're the big underdog on the road. Okay, just play the percentages here. Mm-hmm. And yet, when I listened to him after the game, he was so forthright about it, and he was compellingly convincing that I'd never thought of that. He was thinking way outside a box most coaches never leave mentally, which is, wait a second, if we make it, my chances go up 50% because then all I have to do is kick the next extra point to win the game.
Yeah, but if
okay? I know. But then the reason it's hard to completely condemn him is the play that he called and ran should have been 2 points because it hit Odell right in the hands. Right. I know it wasn't like the easiest catch because
that was the second time around, though, Skip.
No, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
But my point is, you had a play that could have worked, right?
Did Odell bang his head on the sideline? Did he clip? Did he kick the net?
No.
Did he hit the chalkboard?
Okay, but he had 8 catches for 143. Okay, so he was happy. Dang. He got his numbers, right?
Digging numbers.
That's not Odell. All he cares about is winning, Skip. He doesn't care about his numbers. But here's the thing. Here's what I would give Pat Shurmur. If he had the Ravens defense, mm-hmm. if he had the Cowboys defense.
Okay, maybe.
But do you realize? So what, Skip, they're going to, Matt Ryan is finished the night 31 of 39 for 379, no interceptions. What made you think at that point, oh, you're saying like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to score 2 here. We're going to score again. Mm-hmm. And we're going to kick the PAT and we're going to win. Okay, in the whole process of that, you know when you score, what do you have to do?
Yep.
Kick the ball off to the Falcons. What had you seen from your defense that made you think?
Okay. So, I still appreciate the mentality, the attack mentality when you've won one game all year. Like, why not try something new?
But you know what, Skip? The bigger problem I have is that you went for it. You quarterback sneak twice from the 1 yard line. Okay. Do you know how much time you're going to waste with them to umpire?
I don't know. That was on Eli, too.
Right.
Like Eli, he can be as slow with his decision-making as he is with his feet.
Skip, who's the second pick in the draft? Saquon. He's mm-hmm. in the backfield. Your two-point play, he barrels right in. Mm-hmm. Skip, turn around, hand him the ball, let him get the ball in the end zone. You go 2 plays with Eli. You wasted 35 seconds right there. Because when you don't get it, by the time you get all those bodies up off you, you get lined up again. You do it again. Tick, 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 tick. Come on, Pat Shurmur.
Mm-hmm.
Give the ball. When have you ever known Eli to be the quarterback sneak guy? That's Tom Brady. Tom Brady's like one step, he's going over the top.
Greatest quarterback sneaker ever.
That's not a stat, but anyway, Skip.
He is.
You ruined everything.
No, I don't.
Yes,
you opened the door.
I'm just saying, I don't believe they should have run that play on trying to get the ball into the end zone. Mm-hmm. If you want to go for 2, but there's a lot of things you have to also factor in. Factor in how your defense is playing. Factor in how your offense has looked up until this point. You make it seem like Kansas City, because they're going up and down the field. Minnesota has a high-powered offense. New England has a high-powered offense. The Rams. Skip, that's not what you are. Eli's been inconsistent at best.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to judge him last night. Yeah, he threw for almost 400. But he's going against the Falcons, who has the worst. They're actually worse than Kansas City defensively.
Well, now
so,
they are. Yeah.
So I don't really know how to judge what Eli actually did. I know he had some opportunities to get more yardage than what he should have left that game with at least 500 yards.
Mm-hmm. So, to Saquon, and I'm going to say what I've said all along about him. The one place I differ with you on is I don't think you can trust running him between the tackles because he is not an every down banger type of back that who can establish the run for you and get at, what's that?
Behind that offensive line. You've seen his offensive line?
Okay, but I'm just saying, I do this every game. He'll have one big run a game. And if I subtract the one big run, I always tell you, I can do it every game they've played, but even off last night, he had one 15-yard run. If I take that away, on his other 13 carries, he had 28 total yards running the football. That's 2.2 a carry. He's going to have a lot of nones and minus ones because that's who he is.
But look at that offensive line. Look at Nate Solder.
Well, Nate Solder was the left tackle on the market, right?
But you know why he looked so good? Tom Brady's getting the ball out in under 2.5 seconds. Okay. That's not the Giants' offense, so Eli has to hold it. Mm-hmm. So that means he has to hold up a little. Skip, he looks garbage.
Mm.
You know that, I know that.
Mm.
I mean, McKinley just running by him left and right. Mm. Guys are bullying him. Guys are ripping him. Guys are dipping on him. I mean, he looks bad, Skip. That explains why. That's why Coach Belichick like, nah, we good.
Mm. So Saquon, if I subtract the one big catch he had last night, which went for a grand total of 14 yards, that leaves him 8 catches for 37 yards. That's only 4.6 yards a catch. That's not game-breaking. That's not life-changing.
But Skip, they're throwing him the ball 4 and 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
But you just told me he's going against the worst defense in pro football, and that's all you can give me? So he's like the NFL version of the home run hitter, where he's going to hit you some home runs and he's going to lead the league in strikeouts because he's going to strike out a lot at the line of scrimmage.
But you need to push the ball down the field. Look at what Fitz did. Mm-hmm. Look at what other teams have done to this defense. Yeah. Push the ball down the field. Why are you trying to dilly-dally with the back when you got Odell way over 100? You got a Shepard way over 100. Mm-hmm. Why are you dilly-dally and throwing the swing passes? Push the ball down the field.
I don't know if he has the arm to push it with anymore. I don't see much velocity.
Well, he's never been that guy. Right. But he's always been more Greg Maddux. But Greg Maddux was good hitting the spots, but he couldn't drop to 75 and hit those spots.
Yeah.
It still had to be in the mid-80s.
Well, now Eli's throwing some curveballs, too.
Man, you see those things fluttering?
Yeah.
Oof. And that thing was indoors with no wind, no cold, and that thing just fluttered. Oh, I'm like, ooh.
That's why Odell Beckham Jr. is a ticking time bomb as we speak, because how can you blame him? He's stuck with this.
No, he ain't stuck with it.
Yeah.
Nah, he ain't stuck with it. He wanted his money. You know what Eli was. He sees Eli every day in practice for the last 3 to 4 years. So this is not a surprise that Eli looks like this.
No,
yeah, that's what he signed up for. No
mercy. Boy, there was plenty of drama at Staples last night. LeBron hit the game-tying three in the closing seconds to send the game to overtime. Then, with the Lakers up one and 12 seconds left in OT, LeBron missed both free throws after the Spurs.
I just noticed that.
Took the lead. You just noticed it, Skip? Yeah. Somehow, I don't believe you. He had a chance to be the hero, but LeBron missed a jumper at the buzzer, and the loss dropped the Lakers to 0-3. Skip didn't miss any of that. Okay. We have senior NBA insider Chris Haynes is with us.
Welcome
I have a
back.
Feeling
yeah.
you're going to be in LA plenty this year. All right. What was your takeaway from the way that one ended?
Well, my takeaway, let me first start off with this. First of all, I was dreading coming to this show this morning.
Oh, no.
I already knew that we're going to have the one and only Skip Bayless kind of, you know, has some critical things to say about the one.
You dress so sharp that I'm going to give you a break.
I appreciate that, Skip. I appreciate that. You know what? Look, in a nutshell, the Los Angeles Lakers experienced in about 10 minutes the heroics of LeBron James.
They did.
And they also experienced a lot of the shortcomings that he's endured throughout his career. Yep. They got all of that in a short period of time. And it's easy for me to come here and say that the Lakers wouldn't have been in a position to win that game if it wasn't for LeBron James. But, you know, we heard Luke Walton going off talking about free throw disparity, which is he might have a valid point. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is if LeBron James does make two free throws down the end, he gives his team a better chance to win in that game. So I know it was heartbreaking for the Lakers, but they were close. And they weren't close at all pretty much last year.
Mm. Good point. They've been close in all three games.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
This has been disappointing. And I tell you why it's disappointing, because they gave up so much ground early. They fought and they clawed their way back into the ball game. You're down, 8 points with a minute and five to go. Mm-hmm. And somehow you find yourself in the overtime. You feel like, especially you're at home, you have all the momentum, everything's going your way. And with 6 minutes, with 55 seconds, you're up six because LeBron just got an and one. Yep. Mm-hmm. So if you just play any semblance of D,
that is,
you're going to win this ballgame.
You should.
I am not saying you got to play Detroit Pistons type defense of the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about any resemblance of a D, and you're going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. So what I'm seeing the first three games of the season, Chris, and let me know if I'm wrong here, is that all the shortcomings that we thought the Lakers would have, outside shooting consistently from the three and the mid-range, hasn't been there. Defensive haven't been there. And when JaVale McGee gets in foul trouble, who's going to be the other big that comes in and gives you quality minutes?
Wow.
They become a very small team without JaVale McGee. Mm-hmm. And then they start getting pounded on the board. So all the shortcomings that we thought would play out over the season have reared its ugly head in the first three games. And so even though they're dominating teams in the paint, they're giving up 50% shooting, 41% shooting from the three. That allows San Antonio to go 15 to 28. Well, you let somebody shoot 54% from the three-point line, you're losing. I don't care unless you get 120 points in the
paint. Preach, huh? Mm. So far, this conversation has been good.
Yep. Now it's my turn.
Until.
So, as you point out, Chris, LeBron giveth and LeBron taketh away, because the Spurs were up six with 36 seconds left in regulation. They got to win that. They got to close that deal. Mm-hmm. And yet, as you point out, the Lakers up six with 55.6 seconds left. Yeah, if you got LeBron James on your side, the quote-unquote best player on the planet, says he, you got to close.
Got to feel it.
So I'm going to say this one more time, and I need your help. I need your insight on this. The single most baffling Achilles heel I have ever encountered in any superstar's repertoire is LeBron's very unclutch fear of the late game free throw line, because it didn't just start a year ago or 3 years ago. It started back, I was on a show called Cold Pizza, and I started talking about it in LeBron's second year in the league, because he's always fought with the late game free throw line, and I believe he's often had to run from it and take shots that I didn't think he should take, because he is simply the most unstoppable driver of the basketball I have ever seen. That includes Michael Jordan. You can name anybody. Nobody can stop this man from getting to the hole, because he is so big and strong and athletic and skilled and savvy with such a high IQ that even last night there were times where I'd say, that's not fair. Yeah. Because he would just take Rudy Gay to the basket and just do whatever he wanted to with him. He bulldozed him, and Rudy would have to hang all over him. But LeBron doesn't get enough foul calls. I'll be the first to say it. But the point is that it reared its ugly head right on schedule, because, I don't know, I don't think he trusts his motion with it. It's almost like he's a Shaquille O'Neal free throw shooter where his hands are so big, he's not really trusting the stroke of the ball, especially under pressure. But again, if you just go back to the start of last year, he's now 10 of 21 at the free throw line in the final 15 seconds of games that are one possession games, fourth quarter overtime. Well, that's 49%. Obviously, that's not very good. That's like Lonzo Ball last year shooting from the free throw line, 48%. It's just bad.
Because remember, we came in here, I think it was a Thursday game. We came in here that Friday.
Yeah.
He got fouled on the three-pointer against Philly.
Ugh.
And he made the first one.
Well, I mean, I'm just sitting there saying, there's no way that he's going to make three of those to tie the
game. But Skip, if you look at his motion the exact same. I don't see. Now, you'd have to break it down and see how he shoots the ball in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter.
The first one was a little short, and then he tried to overcompensate, and the second one was just too long.
Right. I will say this about Skip. So I covered LeBron James day to day back in the Cleveland days. He has gone through stretches where he changes his shot at the free throw line, changes his stance. Sometimes he'll step up to the line and shoot with both feet parallel to each other. Mm-hmm. Then he'll take a little step back and come into it. Mm-hmm. So there's no secret. He's not a good free throw shooter.
Right.
He's had some seasons where he's shot at a good clip. But look, at the end of the game, I understand what you're saying, Skip. Should he have drove?
It's just like Rudy Gay can't guard
I understand,
him,
you know? but the problem is, Skip, it was seeing Luke Walton and LeBron James, he didn't say this in the scrum, but he was very adamant about,
he
wasn't getting the foul call.
Okay.
And
it may be the case, but I would trust LeBron driving the basketball to and one that one, because he's that good and he's that much better than Rudy Gay. And the help side defender over that side was Bryn Forbes, who's like 6'3"-ish and skinny. And there's no way he's going to help on LeBron enough. So to me, it was the classic case. He had just missed two. So is he going to drive the basketball? No, he's not going to drive the basketball. So he pulls up and takes a shot that over his career, he's a 32% shooter from the left side from three. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad shot. It's not a great shot. He's kind of fallen sideways.
But that's kind of his shot.
It's kind of his shot. And yet, to his credit, he made the first one. It was maybe 30 feet at the end of regulation.
Yeah. After getting hit in the eye.
Okay. But I told Shannon, sometimes he's better that way, because it's like, oh, I got hit in the eye. I'm just going to shoot this with conviction. I'm not sure where it's going.
He shoot all his shots with conviction.
I don't know. Sometimes he didn't shoot the last shot with conviction.
But for me, I don't know how he thinks it. Look, if it's late in the ball game, I drop a pass. Hopefully the quarterback or the coach hadn't lost confidence in me and they throw me another one. Because I believe even though I dropped that one, I'm going to make this one. I'm going to catch this one. And I believe LeBron feels the same way. But, Skip, if you notice, there are very few times that when it comes to the last second that he drives the basketball.
Yeah.
He's more apt to pull up.
Yeah, well, because he doesn't trust himself from the line, and I don't blame him.
Well, I trust him.
I'm way past it.
But, Skip, even Kobe Bryant. He would take that jumper. Most star players at the end of the game, they don't trust that, because the ref don't want to blow a whistle.
Right,
they don't want to be the judge over.
And the only reason you got that call because you're Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron.
So the best stars, they typically get to their rhythm shots and take whether it's a fadeaway or a jump pull up jump shot. That's what they do. LeBron James, that was a good shot.
Okay,
but the situation, they shouldn't have been in that position.
Okay, that is true. They should not have been. Mm-hmm. And by the way, speaking of no defense, You can't let Rudy Gay, because LeBron's guarding him, you can't just sag it to the lane. And he just let
him. On top of the key. Yeah, he just walked straight up.
You can't let him do it.
I can't
you
say
can't
that
let
about
him
that.
Do it. You, I can't say that about can't. That. You got to at least get a hand up.
Yes.
Over the last 2 years, LeBron, defense is just an afterthought. And I'm not condemning him for it because he plays such high-level offense, and he plays so many. He led the league in minutes. So, yeah, you're going to have to sacrifice
42 last night.
One end to the other, right?
Yeah.
So what trended last night? What went to the top of the U.S. trends immediately when this game ended? Kobe Bryant, or just Kobe. And why was that? Because a lot of diehards in Laker Nation are saying Kobe would have stepped up and made those free throws. I believe he would have. To your point, that's not the shot that he would try to get. You know, he wouldn't try to get fouled. But if he had been, remember, they just fouled him intentionally at that point, right?
Yeah, they did.
So if Kobe had been fouled intentionally, do I believe he'd step up and make those? I do. I do.
It's hard for me to believe that in 20 years, Kobe Bryant has been fouled every time he's made every free throw attempt he has shot in that situation.
Well,
it's just hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
You don't believe it either, Skip.
Well, maybe there's some mythology involved there, but these people are going to hang on to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, you know there's some mythology involved.
There is, but they're going to hang on, and yet, in the end, it was a tale of two games, and the Lakers just should have closed this deal.
No doubt.
And I don't know where, like, Kyle Kuzma was out of his mind most of the game, and then for 5 minutes in the overtime, he takes one shot and missed it.
Yeah.
I thought he would be the takeover guy. And at some point, he may become their sort of closer, where you just green light him
And that's what I thought initially, Skip. I thought LeBron was going to direct the traffic, draw the defense, kick over to Kuzma.
Right.
But
hey, look,
he put them in position to go to overtime. I had no problem with him taking that shot. It just didn't fall.
All right. Yeah,
because he paid, remember, he passed that, he drove and kicked the Kuz.
He did.
Yeah.
It was a big play at the end of regular.
Yeah, that's what LeBron does.
That wasn't too bad, Jen.
I mean, do they get the win in Phoenix?
Yeah, they got to get the – hey, if they don't get the win in Phoenix, there's a problem.
That's really a problem. I mean, we're winless Lakers right now.
I looked up last night. It was at Golden State, and I looked up, and Golden State was ahead of Phoenix 70-46. Yeah, so, I don't know.
It's a different discussion if that's the case. No mercy. The Lakers are winless this season after a tough one-point loss to the Spurs. LeBron hit a game-tying three-pointer late in regulation to send the game to overtime, but he missed two free throws late in overtime that led to the loss. It's the first time LeBron has started a season 0-3 since 2004. But after the game, he still seemed optimistic. Let's take a listen.
I know what I got myself into. It's a process. Mm-hmm. I get it. And we'll be fine. So, you know, I didn't come here thinking we were going to be, you know, blazing storms, you know, right out the gate. It's a process, and I understand that. So, you know, the game is, you know, frustrating not to get the win, but I've showered and I'm good now.
Chris Haynes is back with us.
Shower.
Got the shower in. He's over it.
That clears everything.
Yep.
Should we be discouraged by this 0-3 start? He seemed like he knew what he got into, but what are you thinking?
Well, I spoke with him a little bit to the side after the game, and I actually wrote about this for Yahoo Sports. He equated what he's going through in his approach to The Godfather, the movie The Godfather, when the son, Michael, wanted to join the family business. And the Don was like, look, I feel like you can do so much better. And I want to make sure that you're put in position to do better for you and your family. Mm. And he said that's what he's doing right now with directing and teaching. If you see a lot, like I told him, I said, you're doing a lot more hand pointing, a lot more teaching on the court. Aside from just playing basketball. He said, I have to do that right now. I want to make sure everybody is equipped and they know what to do moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so that was his analogy he gave to me. And he told me, you know, just like he said in the scrum, is that, look, I signed up for this. I knew this wasn't going to be an easy fix, but we're just trying to eliminate some bad habits and establish a winning culture. So with all that being said, I think, obviously, he's disappointed with the being 0-4 thus far, but he's looking at the big picture. Is he frustrated? Yes, he is. I see it in his face. You know, he's not going to come out and say it. You know, the cameras are on him. You know, everybody's nitpicking his every word.
Carson, every word
word he says. But yeah, he's frustrated. He's definitely frustrated. But he's going to make sure he takes a cautious approach and make sure he doesn't say anything that can be misconstrued.
Yeah, he can't be frustrated, but I can, and I am frustrated because let me ask you a question. If you were to ask him at the start of the season, 3 games into the season, how many guys say you think they'll be 0-3? How many you think say, yeah, we'd be 0-3?
Nah, yeah.
Exactly. And that's my point. I would have never in my wildest, I'd have bet a lot of money well, not my money, but I'd a lot bet a lot of somebody else's money that they wouldn't be 0-3. And Skip Harris, the problem is outside shooting and defense. They're the third worst three-point shooting team, but they give up the highest percentage of made three-pointers. Skip, that's not a good combination. If you're a boxer, you don't land very many punches, but you take the highest number of punches in the fight. That leads to knockouts. This leads to losses, and they don't shoot the three ball very well. Everybody has moved to playing back to the basket, laying the ball up, middle of the paint, shots to the three-point line, because they would gladly give you two, we'll take three. And at the end of the day, we'll see, especially when you're letting a team shoot 41%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, I told you, Skip, this is why he's going to lead the league in minutes. Guess who lead the league in minutes three games into the season?
Who's that?
LeBron. Oh, okay. At a tick under 40. You know why? Because all these Skip games are going to be close, and he's going to have to play those kind of minutes.
No, he wants to win MVP, and I don't blame him.
No, well, he's getting off to a slow, and this is one of the problems that hurts him in the MVP, because he gets off to such a slow start, where you get guys like Anthony Davis that come out like gangbusters, and some of these other guys that come out like gangbusters, and then all-star break, he picks it up, but he's giving up so much ground. But yeah, I'm. Look, he started slow in Miami the second time around in Cleveland. True. He started slow, and I guess this to be expected. But man, this okay. Portland, we can understand. Portland's a tough place to play. Yeah, Paul Allen had just passed. They were playing. They were a very emotional team.
No shame in that.
But you got to win this one, man.
Okay, but the Rockets, there's no shame in that.
Yes,
they
shame.
They got embarrassed.
They lost to the Clippers. Lost to the Clippers.
I got it, but they're coming with blood in their eyes on Saturday night for LeBron's Hollywood opener.
And we lost to the Spurs without Kawhi. Kawhi doing big things over
Kawhi without DeJounte Murray, without Manu,
Tony Parker. How you like Kawhi in Toronto?
We're talking about the Lakers.
So, I was going to say, he doesn't talk about him. Yeah.
So, silly me, I really like what I've seen from the Los Angeles Lakers so far, because at Portland, they're down only 1 point with 8 minutes to go. That's a pretty good position to be in, and I thought LeBron should have closed it, and he's trying to do too much with players he doesn't really know under fire, and he has three big fourth-quarter turnovers, and they didn't get it home, because Portland's really good at home, and those two guys can you know them well. They can shoot their lights out in Portland, and they did. And then against Houston, when the brawl happened, there's 4:13 left, and they're only down one. And then the Lakers somehow got more distracted by the brawl than the Rockets did, and the Rockets took it personally, and then here they came, and they just took the game over the last 4 minutes. And then last night, again, you're up six with 55.6 seconds left in overtime. Obviously, somebody's got to close it. LeBron couldn't. So does LeBron need to find out how to be the facilitator to the close instead of the actual closer? Is it, you mentioned earlier, is it Kuzma? They got to find their niches, find their roles, find what works for them. I think Josh Hart, you want to talk about
Glad you mentioned him.
You want to talk about playing hard every possession. He just plays his butt off.
He and Caldwell Pope need to switch.
Okay, well, that's fine.
It's time already?
Okay? Yeah. They're
it's
finding out. Yeah. And it's helped. Last night helped.
You think so,
sir? Yeah. Well, it helped clarify their rotation last night, because there's no Rondo and there's no Brandon Ingram. Right. All of a sudden, they can find out, oh, Kuzma can do that there. Right. Oh, he can score 19. He can keep us afloat.
But the thing is, Skip, it's so hard for him to get those major minutes when Ingram is there. You think about
well,
it.
Well, maybe at some point it flips the other way. Maybe Kuzma starts getting the major minutes. I don't know.
Stop it.
Well, it was interesting. Right. LeBron kept raving about Brandon Ingram, and I kept saying he's saying nothing about Kuzma. And I don't know, does he not love it that Kuzma just, it's like he's never met a shot he doesn't love?
Kuzma is a better fit for LeBron James right now. I know LeBron is high on Ingram, but nobody can catch and shoot from that wing position like Kuzma, aside from Josh Hart.
Lonzo. Don't forget Lonzo. He's starting to stroke it a little bit. I don't know. Has he not made a few?
He made a few, but hold on.
Yeah, he's made some.
I love how you want to hold, you love
he
that.
He snuck that in there right there.
Yeah. Well, he made the one at Portland that cut it to one.
He made that one?
Years ago. Oh, yes, okay. He did. I mean, did he not make one in overtime?
Yeah, he made a couple of big ones. Skip, I'm going to give him credit.
I seen him passed up some, too, that led to a turnover because he wasn't confident and consistent. Right. Well, but I digress.
You digress.
I've seen about three coaches, going back to your initial point, Shannon. Mm-hmm. I've seen three coaches who have said initially from the start of the season, we're going to limit LeBron James's minutes. We're gonna try to keep him front. Already three games, Shannon?
Already three games, already 40 minutes. because the games are going to be close. And if the games are close, Skip, that means he's going to end up. Yeah, the final six, the final 8 minutes where you wanted to play him 35 minutes.
So Luke says to LeBron on the court, come on over here. And
he can say that. Yeah. He can say LeBron, it all he wants.
No. I mean, the thing about it, what do we normally see? LeBron normally plays the entire first quarter. He's been coming out 2.5, 3 minutes, 3:30 into the first quarter.
And he still leads the league in minutes played.
Starting in the second quarter for the first minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, he's on the bench.
Yep.
But guess what? When the rubber needs to be the road, you got to have your best play out there, Skip.
Okay. I'm just seeing a lot of firepower here. I like that on offense. They're as fun to watch as anybody because they push it more than anybody. Again, points in the paint. We got the stat. At Portland, they had 70 points in the paint. No team the whole year last year had 70 points in the paint. The highest was 68.
They got 74.
74 last night. It took overtime, but they got 74 points. That is pushing the basketball.
Okay,
like
well, who's going to put out the fire on the other team when they get going?
I told you going in. They just don't. And you're talking about LeBron pointing a lot on defense. Uh-huh. Well, I wish he'd do more playing than pointing.
He's
on
pointing
defense.
On that offense, getting them right, Skip. Stop trying to take shots now. We done beat up the man enough now. He got enough bruises. He was down.
He was mic'd up on Saturday night, I believe, and he's like, switch, you know, like over the top. He's yelling on defense. I'm saying, just play, you know, like guard somebody.
I think we beat him up enough.
Yeah,
he's already feeling down. Okay. He missed a shot. He missed two free throws.
Well, he washed it off, though. He washed that unconsciousness off his body.
See, I saw what you did.
I had to.
He washed the loss
off.
LeBron.
But let me tell you this, Skip. The jury is still out on your guy Lonzo Ball if he can play
LeBron
James.
You know what?
Jury is still out.
I thought he looked pretty good last night. And he is starting to look like an adult to me. His body and his body language look like he's growing up.
Finish at the
rim. Okay, I agree with you. He's got the ability. He's 6'7", and he can jump. And he's obviously got great handles.
You gave him a couple inches right there, Skip. Mm-hmm.
I think he's 6'7".
Ooh, that's pretty tall right there.
Okay. I
thought he was like 6'5", maybe?
No, he's taller than that.
Ooh.
He's 6'7".
Ooh, 6'7".
He was just towering over Patty Mills, and it's like
Patty Mills is about 5'8" now. Skip. On a good day, Skip.
Yeah,
on a good day.
You want to talk about clutch? Did Patty?
Oh,
Mills
big shot. That was. And for him to, get the
pit?
Yeah,
shoot a jump shot. Wow.
Well, Pop, you know, coach.
Oh, who did hit that shot on, Skip?
Lonzo.
Ooh. Oh, the defensive guy?
The 6'7 guy with the long wingspan?
His build looks better, though.
Who had the best defensive win shares individually? The Lakers last year. Lonzo Ball did. Who led them in rebounds for most of the year until the very end of the year?
Who had the highest plus minus last night for the Los Angeles Lakers? Who had the highest plus minus last year for the Los Angeles Lakers, Skip Bayless?
It's right there.
I mean, you know how to do that.
It's right there, Skip.
Yeah. No, you got it.
What about LeBron?
What did he have?
It's terrible. He's the best player on the planet. He was -6.
He played 10 more minutes than Lonzo.
Huh?
So if you put Lonzo in those minutes, ain't no telling. That put -14.
You can't be -6 if you're the best player on the planet. It's the lowly Spurs.
Normally now.
But here's the thing, Chris. Normally, when a team loses, that means somebody had to be at a minus. So
how? No doubt. Yeah.
Skip Bayless, I love how you try to. You all.
He did it.
So what are you trying to do? You're trying to tell me LeBron played great last night?
No, he didn't play great. They lost. He missed two free throws. He turned the ball over. He missed the last second shot. Mm. No, he didn't play well.
Thank you.
But I make no excuses for LeBron, unlike you.
No excuses.
Well, I'm going way out on a limb. I think you're going to win at Phoenix.
Oh, God.
How about that?
Okay. It'd be nice to talk about
LeBron. I'm bullish on LeBron James as a Laker.
Okay. Yeah, that's a Redwood LeBron. Sturdy.
Looking forward to it.
I love him.
Plenty to watch, Chris. Thank you for being here. Bro. We look forward to having you back. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.